Alrighty, good evening, everybody. It's Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. That's 52222. What does that mean? I don't know, but something's going to happen today. You can be sure of that because they love 22. This is the Fakeologist Show. It is 2 p.m., as I just said, because I have a guest from the other side of the ocean, and I try and start early to accommodate any guest that is not in the North America time zone. Australia is a little harder to accommodate because they're completely upside down, and God knows what time it is half the time over there. But we do Asia as well. It's a little trickier. But today I have a special guest who is her first interview, which I'm always excited to break in a new podcast interviewee, virgin as it were. So it's fantastic. And you can hear her laughing in the background. And that is the fantastic AIB Above is Below. Hello, Above is Below.
Hello.
I actually really like your voice. I'm gonna butter you up at the beginning of the call.
Okay.
So I do like your voice. You sound, I know it's wrong to say, but you sound very young, which for an older, creepy guy like me, I shouldn't be saying it, but I do like the intonation of your voice. And of course, we hear it on your fantastic videos all the time. And another one of my users, Dirty Benny, is in the house, and he's stunned to have you on. He doesn't normally say stunned, so he made sure to show up on time. That's why I wanted to make sure I started the show on time. So you have a super fan in the audience already.
Okay.
And we don't feel pressured. And we get a lot of we have regular video and audio listeners. Mm-hmm. And we don't get as many in the afternoon, because people have other things to do, because normally we're an evening show. So anyone that shows up at this time of the day is hardcore, and Dirty Benny is hardcore.
Okay.
So that's cool. And most people, I think, maybe even you probably, if you do listen to podcasts or watch videos, you do it on your own time. You don't usually, most people don't attend live viewings. But the only good part about live video or audio is people can ask questions. So as we're going along, you can see the chat, I believe, on your screen. So if there's anything you see, you can just interrupt me and say, oh, so-and-so asked this, and I'll answer that. Or you can just ignore it. It's up to you.
Okay.
So welcome to the broadcast. One of the things that this show often diverts into is what we call elite gender inversion. Mm-hmm. Or transvestigations, or yes. Androgyny, or Kabbalah. I've had a couple guests on, including someone you might want to talk about during the show, Mr. E, who I've been following for a long time. And I've been looking into this probably for 4 or 5 years, and I never heard of it before, just like all truth. Never really heard of anything I ever investigate. I'm always stunned how ignorant I've been over the years. And I've been around for 55 years, so I don't like to say that number because it keeps getting higher every time I mention it. So I can tell you're probably not 55 years old, but I will not be impolite and ask a woman's age. But I'm stunned as I learn. But can you just tell us how you got into this research? Because it's very esoteric, and you seem to really know a lot already about esoterica. So,
a really long story.
Okay. You can shorten it any amount you want. You can skip over, whatever you want to tell us.
I think when I was a child, I was always asking, because how it works here is if you ask, you get it. Or you receive it, because I knew that there was something wrong. People say one thing, but they do another, or they lie, or they have these agendas. And I was always asking, is going on here. There's something wrong. I know there's something wrong and I don't know what it is. So I never stopped asking that. But I do recall that when I was in school, I was a little girl in school, and there was another girl, and she was talking to me, and she said that her mum is a witch.
Oh, wow.
She said her mum was angry at her boyfriend, and she kicked him out of the house, and she was going to put a curse on him. So when I got back, my aunt said how was school, and I said, oh, it's fine. This girl says she's a witch. And my aunt said, don't talk to her. Don't say anything to her. But of course, children talk, so she would still continue talking to me. And one day she had said that she wasn't going to come to school because it was a full moon, and her mother was going to do a ritual, and she said that she had been named Diana after the moon goddess. So that was odd to me, and I was afraid to talk to her because my aunt had such a strong reaction, but I never forgot about that. And I used to do some reading. We had to do reading for whatever thing. And there was a book called The Egypt Game that I had read, and it sort of sparked an interest in Egypt. So when I got older, I took a term in Latin.
Oh, that's
smart.
And because
we were studying Latin, then I got into Greek mythology.
Uh-huh.
And Egyptian mythology and Greek mythology, they sort of, they go together
yeah.
a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I got older and I moved, and I was living with a housemate from, he was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there's ghosts in my house because he's on duty, but, you know, the dishes would rattle and there's nobody there. And it's not, you know, we live in the country, so it's not as if it was a deer because they can't open a door. So I went to the local bookshop and I said, I think I've got ghosts in my house. So she took me to the metaphysical section of the bookstore, and I started reading about metaphysical things. And there was lots of stuff. There's a lot of, I don't think it was New Age exactly, but they did call it metaphysical. So there was a lot of rituals to the moon. And I remembered Diana from school. So when I was reading about all this, and I had remembered bits from the Greek mythology, like Selene is the moon goddess, but the author, and I forgot her name, said that it went all the way back to Sumeria, and she said the moon goddess was called Inanna. So I kept that in my mind. And then what? I was traveling around. I went to New York City, and I was living in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have a lot of money, and the electricity was extremely expensive for me, which I found out later what had happened about that. But I was going to the dollar shop to get candles because I thought the electricity is so expensive, I'm not going to use it anymore. I'll just use candles in the nighttime instead of the light.
Wow. You really were out of money.
Yeah. Traveling.
Yeah.
And even that was getting to be a bit too much. So there was a shop on the corner called A Botanica, and I thought it was a sort of like a branch of Catholicism because they had lots of candles, they had votive candles, and they were really cheap. So I thought, well, this is better and it's going to last longer. So the man that had the shop, he noticed that I kept coming in, and he's like, why are you coming here? And I said, well, the electricity is quite expensive. And I later found out that the maintenance man who was living there, he was somehow tethering the electricity to go to his, so it was sucking out mine and making the bill go up.
He's stealing your electricity? Oh my God, that's funny.
So I only found out about that later because I realized I've been using candles for over a month and the electricity bill is still going up. That doesn't make any sense. So the man who owned the Botanica said, do you want to come to a party? And I said, okay. So when I got there and everything started to kick off, I realized this is not a party. And I wanted to leave, but I couldn't because they had barred the doors.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
So he took me down to the basement, and on the wall was a massive painting. And he said that this is Yamaya, and she's the goddess of the water, and she does this. And on the other side, he said, this is Oshun, and he's the god of this. And in the middle of the floor, he had this basin with rusted things in it. And there was a rooster. And he was shackled
oh, what the
to that
hell?
Metal stuff. And because of what they did, the rooster couldn't get a purchase on the edge of the basin, so he couldn't stand on the floor either. So he was sort of in this uncomfortable position. And I'm looking at this rooster, not really understanding. And the man said, "What do you want to save him?" And I thought, "Of course I want to save him." So he sent me upstairs and the party kicked off. And I noticed everybody was wearing white. And they started sort of dancing in a row. And somebody passed around this platter that had honey and something else. And I'm watching this and I'm realizing, I don't think this is the party that I'm used to going to. So it had disturbed me and I went upstairs and there was an elderly lady sitting there. And she knew because I'm not wearing white. I'm sort of standing out of place and she wanted to know why I was there. And I said, well, the man in the shop invited me. So after that sort of finished, I left and he's like, where are you going? I said, I'm leaving. You told me this was a party. This is not a party. I've never seen this before. And he said it was a party. It was a blessing for his shop. And I realized later that the reason that they barred the doors is because this was a Santeria ritual. And I didn't know anything about that at the time. And they were inviting spirits and they didn't want the spirits to go out the door. So that was my first experience with that. And then I moved out. I didn't want to be around that anymore. I moved out and I ended up in a large shared house. So they had the ground floor and the first floor and the second floor. And I lived on the second floor. And there was a person there who was open about being female to male transgendered. And so then I began to learn about that because I didn't. I thought she was a boy, but she just didn't feel like it, even though she took hormones. And on the ground floor, there were two blokes that lived there and the people in the rest of the house didn't like them. And I asked why. And they said that he's into strange things and he sort of frightens them. So at some point I went down there and I was looking around and his room, he had pyramids drawn on the walls and other strange stuff drawn on the walls. And I was asking him and he was sort of being cagey about it, but he was sort of giving some information that it was, I don't want to say mind control because that's not what it was, but he was sort of giving a hint that he was involved in some underground government stuff. So I moved out of there and I had been living with a girl that I'd met. We went to another club there and I met her. So I was living with her and she used to go to this youth drop-in center, like for youth people.
Yeah.
And there was another FTM that I met and she did look a bit like Kurt Cobain. So I was starting to understand that this could be a thing. And when she was really upset and she said she started a period and I laughed at her because I didn't understand. I didn't know I was talking to an FTM. She looked like a boy to me. She had long hair. She had a beard and a mustache and I did see the scars, but I didn't have a reference for that. And I assumed she had a childhood surgery or something. I didn't understand, like, top surgery. And she said, no, it's because I stopped taking the hormones. And I thought, what hormones? And so it took some time to understand, like, this is going beyond just being lesbian or gay or bisexual. This is something else. So I met more friends there, and then they decided to go on a road trip to California. And I thought, sure, let's go to California. So I was living with their friend for about a month and she was dating a male to female transgender. Like she was female, but her partner was an MTF.
The opposite.
So I was starting to see more of that again. And then I moved and I went to an abandoned warehouse where there was a lot of people living there. And there was a girl that was talking to another one and I was trying not to eavesdrop, but I heard her say something that caught my ear. And she said, my mom was talking to me and she said, don't do that when I'm here. And then that escalated and she said, don't do this in the house. And then one day she came to her and said, you need to stop doing this. And I thought, that's interesting. What she's talking about. And I heard her say that first she started off with small animals. And then she graduated to bigger animals like chickens. And it took me a moment to realize she's talking about sacrificing animals.
Oh, boy.
And I asked her about it, and she was like, oh, no, this is what we do in Santeria. You know, you get power for something that you want, etc. And I thought, okay, well, here we go again. So I'd been walking around there, and there's a railroad track that's disused. And I had seen a dead rooster with a nub of a candle. And I thought, okay, so this is a thing now. People practice this. So I think because I'd been asking since I was a child, what's going on here? I was being shown anyway that there's lots of practices, if you will, that people do. So it started to make more sense. And I really wasn't judgmental about it at the time because I thought, well, maybe this is like a religion. This is something that people practice. But I began to understand that this is not something that I would consider a beneficial thing to be doing. So I went back to New York City after I stayed there for a few months. I went back to New York City and there was people standing on the street giving out flyers and they said, oh, go to this meditation event. And I thought, well, maybe this is something that's going on. Maybe they have the answers. So I met two people there, and one of them turned out to be a Freemason, and he was open about being a Freemason. And he's like, oh, well, we do these meditation things, so why don't you come to the ones that we do every whatever? So they would go to this obelisk in Central Park and do this sort of meditation. And so because I had learned about Egypt before when I was a child, I thought, okay, so now this person is interested in Egypt. And he had said before that he was a Freemason, but he only got to the second degree because the brother above him, I think, was 33rd degree and told him, don't go any higher than this. Just don't. So this man would be doing meditations, and he said that sometimes this man from the CIA would come around and tell him, stop doing this. And I thought, oh, why does he come to you? What does that mean? He said, I don't know. But when he was calling down these entities or whatever they were, I suppose it had an effect, but this man would show up randomly and say, stop doing it. I never saw him. I think this Freemason was probably being watched. But he was into Egyptian stuff. He had lots of Egyptian paraphernalia all around his flat. And after about 2 years, I sort of got tired of their thing because I didn't see any progression. And I thought, well, these are not the answers that I'm seeking. They seem to be stuck in their little mindset of we're really evolved and we're spiritual and we're just going places and we know better than you. And I thought, that's not what I'm looking for. So he had a neighbor that didn't like him. And I thought, well, I'm going to talk to her if she doesn't like him because there might be something to that. And she told me lots of things that sort of shocked me. But she was interested in Native American sort of beliefs, even though that was not what she was born into. She sort of followed it. So I thought, well, maybe they've got some answers to something. So I would talk to them and I would ask them about their belief systems and sort of the things that they believed, because what the Freemason and his friends were doing, I suppose, would be considered New Age. It's like bits from here and sort of all over the place, and it's not really grounded in anything. So I was talking to her for a bit, and then I decided to leave. I decided I wanted to go back to the UK. So then I came back here, and I did do some research into the mind control, but it was extremely disturbing and I didn't know what to do with that. Like, what am I supposed to do with mind control and torturing people and making their minds split off? I didn't know what to do with that. And I wanted to just forget about some of it because it was really overwhelming. But I kept finding it everywhere. I would look somewhere and I would see something and it would remind me of, you know, a witchcraft symbol that I'd read in a book. And I would think, I don't think that I can turn away from this because it's always here. It's everywhere. And the thing that sort of got me back into it is that I saw a post of Russell Brand, and he had a crown of thorns around his head, and he was holding this cane, but his arms were up like he was crucified. And I thought, that's something to do with it, because I know that these famous people are not Christians, so what are they doing? And I was looking into that, and eventually I came upon a blog called Pseudo Occult Media. And I would read the comments. He would talk about like the mind control in Hollywood and the MK Ultra, etc. And I was reading comments from people, and there was a girl that used to comment quite frequently, and she had her own blog. So I looked into her blog, and she had a free book that she had written about all of her experiences being in underground sort of activities, because her family was in the military. So I got to learn more about that. And her partner was really into it, extremely intelligent. So I was reading his blog and found that he had been interviewed by someone called Freeman Fly.
All right.
Freeman so Fly. I looked into Freeman Fly, and I was following him for a bit when I had a Facebook, and people were sending him different links. And one of them was Transvestigations.
Wow.
And he never liked the videos. He never responded to them. So I kept that in mind. And one of the videos was, it was a husband and a wife that were into forensics or doing forensics or something. And they were saying that Justin Bieber is actually a girl. It wasn't really quite nice the way that they were going about it. But I think their channel was removed during this entire purge of get rid of the people who are saying too much. So I learned about that. There were different people that were doing it. So I was following maybe one or two people, and I was telling them, you know, look into the names. You have to look into the names. Don't you realize that these famous people, they've got the names of stars or gods, but they wouldn't do it, some of them. They wouldn't look into the names. They wouldn't look into the mythology. And I said, you have to look into that, because this is what they're doing. I can see it. And not many people were doing that. So then in 2019, I decided to have my own channel and talk about sort of the background that I've had over the years, and then add it to what these celebrity people are doing. Because when I looked more into depth with these celebrities, you always find that they're doing something that is a bit ritualistic. It's not just the fact that, you know, mind control, that's part of it. But the rest of it is that they think they're descended from these gods, which is why they've got names like gods. So I decided to call my first channel Above is Below. Not as above, so below, because that is their ideology. But above is below, because what's up there is down here. So most people know that the three stars on Orion's belt match up with the three pyramids in Giza. And then you find that the celebrities are named after different gods or different constellations. So there's an American actress called Alexa Vega. And Vega is a constellation in the sky. So that's sort of the short version of how
wow.
I learned about it.
So really, America corrupted you when you came over here. And... and just because you had a bit of a background in this kind of research, you actually met real people that you could understand right away. If you did not have your background, you probably would have just blown them off as just odd people.
Yeah, I thought they were odd. I thought they were odd, but I realized that there's something to this. And then I started noticing, you know, oh, there was a story that Obama had been doing voodoo in the White House, and Jennifer Lopez, hairstylist, says that she does voodoo rituals. So it seems that they're into that as well.
And how valuable is learning Latin? I had to take Latin in grade 9, which was a long time ago. And it was one of my favorite classes, even though I had no idea why I was taking it. It's such an important... I know everyone says it's a dead language, but really it's not a dead language, because it's still so used in medicine and in law. And if you don't know the words that are being thrown around, masquerading as English words. You really have no idea what the background is in history. And then you said you got into Greek because it's sort of a natural pathway from Latin, or there's a lot of relationship there. And man, when you know just some basic Latin and Greek words, you have keys to the code that we're living in right now. And
yes.
It should be mandatory. Instead of the nonsense they teach in high school, they could easily substitute some of these fantastic historical languages that our whole society is based on. But they don't want that. The people that rule over us, they do not want us to have any clues as to the illusion that we're living.
Exactly, because then you might get some clever clogs that says, mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting that the goddess Circe was a witch and she was practicing sorcery, which is pharmakia. Don't they call it pharmaceutical drugs?
Mm-hmm.
They can't have that.
God, we're so stupid. The masses are just so stupid. And when you do a little bit of research into the Latin and the Greek, and then you make a million connections, and unfortunately, most people it won't resonate with because they just don't know what you're talking about.
No.
But man, if you had a little, if everyone that was watching you had a little bit of background and you just planted a few seeds, they would just grow like crazy. And that's why I find when I do these interviews with different people, and even though you talk about a similar subject than someone else, you have such a different background and a perspective that it just really fills in the picture so much more as you come at it from such a different angle. But in the end, it all points to the same sort of satanic religion, really, isn't it?
Yes.
And the elite love it, and the elite worship it, and they flaunt it. And since they control the media, we're all sitting here just being razzle-dazzled, and they're really casting spells on us all the time, and we don't even know it. Does it matter that the masses don't know what they're talking about half the time? Only us people that investigate transvestigations and follow channels like yours, only we really know what's going on, and maybe the masses,
I think people could know, but when you learn about this sort of thing, it's disturbing.
Yeah, I know. It's always disturbing.
If somebody didn't know, I mean, I never thought these celebrity people were attractive. So when I was in America, this girl, the neighbor, she said, "I love Keanu Reeves. He's so amazing. I just love Keanu." And I said, "Who is she?" And she said, "It's a he." But I was right the first time because I didn't Keanu. I thought that was a girl's name. But if you were to say to them, "Well, that really is a girl," they would get really upset because, you know, since people are children, they're put in front of the television and they get programmed that way. So their entire life and their personality is built around these celebrities and the music. So if you were to say, "Well, actually, that person is really a female who looks like a male, but not really because you were told that it looks like a male," then what are they supposed to do with that? Their entire personality and the identity they think they have is going to be destroyed. And then what do they have?
Yeah, the cognitive dissonance just fries your brain. What?
So
is it worse for females? Because I actually have to state that I thought many of the MTF or FTMs, no wait, the MTFs, I found them attractive. Like, I'm looking at your picture that you put of transvestigating Scarlett Johansson's son on your channel, and I always thought that entity was attractive. But do males fall for the FT or MTFs more than, say, the females fall for the FTMs, do you think?
I think probably because somebody had said it in my comments, which I agree, they exploit men's reproductive instincts, which is a good way of putting it, because you have breasts and you've got makeup and you've got female clothes. Of course, that's going to tell you it's female. Like the girl that I had met in the youth drop-in center, facial hair, flat chest, I assumed that's a boy. I didn't know anything about cutting the breasts off. I just put my own experience in there, and I thought, well, maybe he had, you know, some sort of childhood surgery, and they cut his chest open, and those are the scars. I assumed because I didn't have a knowledge of top surgery. So I think men are given this ideal that doesn't exist. So, and I think because women tend to look at details more than men do, I think. So a lot of women that have watched my videos have said, I always knew there was something wrong with them, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Because our brain looks at that and says, there's hair, there's makeup, but there's something else going on. And if they don't teach anatomy in school, then you're not really going to know. But if they did teach anatomy, you would say, okay, well, the jaw is square and you've got these large shoulders and no hips. And really, how are you going to have a baby with no hips?
Mm-hmm. And men are way more visual than women. Women get their cues so many other ways. And I think in the two-dimensional world, women don't get a lot of cues. Women need to be in person. And then they take in all kinds of sensory information and say, well, that's not a man. You could just be around the person probably and be getting male energy off of female, or female energy off of male, I mean. Where men, we just go right for the two-dimensional, the visual, and all our hormones and all our triggers get set off. But women, I think, need more information that you can't necessarily get off a screen.
No.
Because for women to be attracted to a man, they need more information, more sensory information, because their decision on choosing a mate are much greater than a man's. A man doesn't have the long-term obligation biologically, but a woman does. A woman really has to choose wisely, because in biology, it'll make or break her entire life.
Yes.
Biologically, that's really important.
Well, the FTMs that I was around when I was in New York City, or the girl that lived upstairs with us, looking at her, I thought she looked like what we are told is a man, but she didn't feel like it. She had very feminine, soft energy, and her eyes were big and soft. Do I think transgendering opens one up to possible demonic possession? Yes. Unfortunately, yes. I don't know if that's due to the hormones or just what they're doing itself. On my first channel, I did a video called Why They Do It. I don't remember exactly offhand what I said verbatim, but I feel that... I was looking at the Kabbalah doing this because of their whole thing that they believe man was male and female.
Right.
And I was thinking that this has to do with the Kleifat. This is the dark side of the Kabbalah. It's like the tree of evil. So I was calling what's going on here is like a Kleifat net, because there's lots of... evil and sort of disgusting things, and I think that it feeds this energetic thing, whatever it is. And by transgendering, I think they are sort of, it's like if you have two magnets and you one is opposite of the other, you can't put them together. There's a sort of tangible force in between it. And I think that's what is happening when they transgender. I think it's sort of locking a lot of stuff in here. So does that answer the question?
That sounds like a good answer. Yeah, Dirty Benny has got lots of questions here. I'll just read a few of his comments for those that are not looking at the screen, because this is also an audio show as well. And don't forget, listen.fakeologist.com. And, of course, we have all our other links at fakeologist.com/live. But many, many people watch this on fakotube.com, which is my own video platform. And, of course, we have the blog, fakeologist.com/blog, where you can leave comments on this audio/video, or you can go to fakeotube.com and leave comments there. And Dirty Benny, you may have seen these yourself, but I'll read them out. Dirty Benny is really excited. He says, big thanks to Above Is Below for all her research and wisdom. And he also said, would love to hear Above Is Below discuss the role of consent in this realm, especially given her credo on her BitChute account.
Yes, that actually comes from a lady in Canada called Lauda Leon. I found her via Freeman because they know about each other. And I had wanted more questions because when I was in New York City and California, I noticed there's a lot of energies, shall we say? Mm-hmm. And they didn't bother me too much, but I know that these entities can interfere with people. And that was a question that I had just put out, you know, how do you stop this? Because an issue that a lot of these sort of generational coven families or families in the military, they do often have entity interference, interdimensional entity interference, or extra dimensional interference by entities. And I wanted to know, how does that stop? So it seems to be that ignorance is the best thing for them. They don't like people to have an understanding about what's really going on because they have to have your consent. But if you don't know or you don't care or you're not bothered, that's considered presumed or tacit consent.
Yeah, so silent, you can have silent. Yeah.
These mm-hmm. entities interfering because, well, you haven't said. And that's what they do. I've told people for such a long time, don't watch TV because you're giving your consent for this. And I do think that the TV and the frequencies, I think these lead to these entities riding on those frequencies and using different portals, which is something that I've explained. And they need that. They need you to be ignorant so that they can use your energy. They can set up different things in your life to take your energy or whatever it is. So that was a relief when I found out. And I went through the entire withdrawal of consent. And I had a lot of interference for that. I've spoken to people that they had Freemasons in their family and they didn't know. And if those Freemasons have done rituals, then for some reason, the entities that are involved in that, they can follow the generations. So I had seen a few videos by different people. Either they were delivered or they had gotten help from a therapist. And these entities would come out spitting and screaming that they had blood rights to this individual. And the blood rights was from a few generations ago when they had an ancestor that was into Freemasonry or Rosicrucianism or whatever belief system. So they follow. And because that family member was doing those rituals, that was consent. And they brought those entities here. So those entities will continue to think that they have access to you unless you say otherwise.
You talk a lot about Freemasonry. And when I first got into truth, a guy came on my channel on my first show, maybe the first comment, and he said, are you a Mason? And I honestly had no idea what he was talking about. I knew about the water buffalo from the Flintstones, which is a television cartoon. But yeah. I don't know any Masons. I just was totally unaware, but I was sort of annoyed by the question because I thought, why would you think I'm a Mason? I don't even know, is that a good thing or a negative thing or why is it important? Because I'm talking about truth here. And I had no idea how pervasive it was a secret society in America where he was calling from. And I really didn't know in Canada. I'm not very plugged in at all into society in the sense that I'm pretty independent. So, and I've always been independent. I just was not a joiner of anything. So many people in the truth community are loners or individualists or libertarians in that way. So I had no idea, but a lot of your videos, you're talking a lot about Freemasons. Is that just because, is that something that's going on in the UK, or is it just because your research has pointed you that way, or how are you made aware of Freemasonry?
It's both. Well, I didn't really know much about Freemasonry until I went to New York City and I met that Freemason.
Oh, okay.
But he wasn't teaching anybody Freemasonry. He was doing these meditation sorts of things, and he was calling these Egyptian gods, but he wasn't giving classes. So I didn't know anything about what that was. And the more research I did, the more I found there's always a Freemason link to this. And of course, America was founded by Freemasons. Mm-hmm. There's lots of Freemasonry in the UK. There's other countries that are doing it as well. They've got their own whatever, Knights of Malta, right. Different little branches of things, and they control whatever province or area that they're in. So it's important because even the churches that I had been to in America, there were Freemason symbols in there, and I didn't realize what they were until much later. So it's important to be careful about that because it's sort of, if you've heard of Joel Osteen, I did a video about them on my first channel. That is not, that's an FTM, I think. And
probably,
the whole
yeah.
thing is purely Freemasonry. He's doing the hand, she's doing the hand signs. So a lot of that is unfortunately in America as well, that you've got these churches and you think that it's a Christian church. And you're giving your money because you think like you have to give it to the church, and who knows what it's going to or funding. I don't know what Freemasonry would have been in the past, but currently it's something that I don't think is a positive influence in this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, a lot of the politicians and the people that rule over us, they're supposed to be committed to the public. At least that's the illusion. But really, if they're in a secret society, then that's going to be their first allegiance, no matter what. So if it's a contract or a law or a prosecution, if you're in the club, then you're going to get a different type of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think it's the Jews, it's the Jesuits. We hear all these groups that were or are supposedly controlling society. Do you ever give credo to those groups, or do you think they're all interlaced and overlapping, or is it always in your mind the Freemasons that are always at the root of all this?
I think, well, what they call the 13 families or the 13 covens,
mm-hmm.
I think they have a large stronghold, but the rest of them are sort of it's a front or a scapegoat, because mm-hmm. truly what they believe is quite nefarious and I should say evil, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it is. But, now it's...
Oh, yes.
Before we were just sort of watching all these kind of rituals and these pagan rituals and these anti-God behaviors, but now it seems like they've come out guns a-blazing.
I think it's all out in the open now.
Mm-hmm.
It was secret before, but there's so many things that even if I tell people, you have to look at the bone structure on these things because that's going to tell you what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the old presidents are looking not how they present to be. On my first channel, I did do a video about Frida Kahlo. That's a boy that I looked. So I believe in the soul trap reincarnation matrix. I do think there's a recycling here, unfortunately. That's not something that I wanted to accept happens, because you've got lots of different little groups around, and they don't like it when you begin to figure things out. So they're always going to throw dirt on the path to, well, you're an agent because how do you know that? And listen to all this new age stuff. But unfortunately, the more that I've looked into it, I think somehow or another, the entities that are interfering with this place, they've been doing some really nefarious things to make sure that we are recycled. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I'm not really into reincarnation. I mean, it's a nice thought. I wouldn't.
No, I think, well, unfortunately, when I've read more about sort of the Eastern religions, they were telling people that you get recycled, unfortunately. So, but if you say reincarnation, that sounds very new age. And then they can point a finger and say, aha, you see, she likes reincarnation. She's into new age. But that's not the thing at all, because I think that's a lot of input from these entities that want to keep people as stupid as possible about what's going on here. And I think it's important that we really do have to not put our head in the dirt about what's going on here, that what is happening in this realm is really, really, really nefarious. And it doesn't help to look the other way and say, well, that's not true, because it seems to be. I've read several stories over the years. Maybe a three-year-old child was talking about that he was murdered by this man and said, you know, he murdered me over here. And they dig up the ground and there's the body, and the boy has explained it perfectly. So unfortunately, I think that souls can get trapped. Certainly, I have seen some interesting things about that. So I think it's possible that there's something wrong here that doesn't allow people to fully leave. I think a lot of that as well has to do with the entities that are involved in people's bloodlines, or however they've done it, I think.
This research is very controversial. It's very esoteric. Why do you do this research? What do you like it? Do you think that you need to explain it to people? It's important to reveal what's going on, or you must have an interest in it because you do a lot of it and you're good at it. And what is your motivation?
That I want people to understand this is not just a fun place that we can hang out and drink and party. There's a lot of serious things going on here. And TV is a distraction. You're not going to learn anything about yourself by watching television, because it's just keeping you on this thing or that thing, and it's not offering solutions. So I often tell people, you have to withdraw your consent. But that doesn't mean that you can have your cake and eat it too. It doesn't work that you withdraw your consent and still watch TV because, well, I like that program. Well, then you're consenting to whatever messages that they're sending to your brain. It's important that people understand they are putting spells on us. That's quite obvious to me. Everything's a ritual. It's got a lot to do with stealing our energy and stealing our
potential, I guess, if we're busy.
Potential, really?
Yeah.
Because, you know, every time, oh no, there's a war in Ukraine. No, there isn't. There bloody well isn't. But people don't realize that. And then they get really emotional and then they start giving their money and they just stop for a moment here. This is a lot deeper than what we really think it is. But I think even though people are aware, I think half the people, they would just rather they didn't know. A few people had said that to me before, that they wish they could just go back to not knowing. But if you do that, then you don't progress. You don't progress in your life here. So what's the point of being here if you're just going to be happy to be ignorant? They're doing things and they're taking things from you, and people seem to be quite happy with that. And I'm not happy with that. I don't like that they are putting, you know, doing these rituals and putting spells on people and programming people to be transgender when they don't understand the implications of that. They don't understand the ritual behind that. And the ritual behind that is to these entities, whatever they are, if they're fallen angels, if they're demons, I don't know, but these entities that exist, it's to them. And they need us because I think somehow or another they've lost their ability to do things. So then they have to have us create it for them. So they're going to scream about, you know, something that doesn't exist for 2 years, and then everyone sort of acquiesces to their demands without asking, well, why are you doing this? What's the reason behind all this? They're like, okay, well, we'll just go inside. Well, I didn't go inside. I did not go inside. I was walking around. Nobody was around. I was walking down the middle of the street because there's no cars. And I did see them put up these towers. But people are sort of just happy to not know about it. And I want people to know they're doing this because you're giving them your consent. And it is tacit or presumed consent because you're not saying anything about it. And people say, well, what are we supposed to do about that? Well, there's lots of different things. You can send letters to your prime minister or whoever saying, I do not consent to this behavior and to these lies. And, you know, what you're doing is out of order. Nobody's doing that. I know that there's somebody who follows me and he likes to sort of do these withdrawal of consents and then tape it on shop windows for them to see it.
Mm-hmm. I have a member of the Fakeologist site who wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Australia and said he says you don't decline consent, you accept conditionally. So he said, I'll accept your vaccine into my life if you can provide insurance that it will not cause any harm. And so he's consenting to the vaccine with conditions that he knows that the Prime Minister will not be able to meet. But he's made a counteroffer. So he hasn't refused it because I don't know where that leads, but he hasn't consented either. But he's consented with conditions that the Prime Minister, who I guess is the official person that can maybe make that ruling in Australia, has no way of making good. So basically they're leaving. He thinks if you give them an offer that they leave on the table, then that's because they don't provide a counter offer, then that's their consent. So he's not refusing, but he's left an offer, and because they haven't made a counter offer, then that's their consent to leave him alone. So he's playing their game, I guess, is my point. So
well,
I don't know what you think of that. Dirty Benny says he's not a fan of conditional consent. Okay, well.
Well, if you consent to whatever they ask, at some point, there's going to be a plethora of conditional things attached to whatever. So if you say yes to one thing, that opens the door for other things. But if you say no, then what have they got?
You think saying no is better?
Yes.
Just straight up refusal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the guys I follow in Canada that I do like, and even though he's sort of loud and not a traditional Canadian and boisterous, that is his central message, just say no. Are you familiar with the Chris Sky person in Canada? I don't know if he's made it to your media, but he's not promoted by our media, but he is out there on the alternative channels, and that I think it's a good message. Just say no. Just say no to everything they're offering.
Well, I think one of the larger issues is that people did not say no before, mm-hmm. because we did not need smartphones or iPhones. What's wrong with a landline? Why couldn't we have a landline? But they sold it. They said, no, this is better. You'll be, if there's an accident, you can call somebody and there'll be help and you can stay better connected. But that's not happened, is it? So they've done little things and people said, okay, and they've done little things and people said, okay, and it's sort of, what's the allegory of a frog?
Boiling frog,
you put the frog in the water and you slowly turn up the heat.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So we have to take responsibility that we did not say no to them and that we've sort of brought this on ourselves. And I think people don't want to take responsibility for that because they want to point a finger and say, well, they shouldn't have done it. We didn't have to say yes. They said, hey, have an iPhone. And I said, no, I don't need it. But how many people really said that? So they can add more and more and more and more. And people, no, I don't like it, but maybe I'll do it. No, I don't need an iPhone. What for? They have control of that thing now. They can shut it off at a second. You can't really do that with a landline. What happened? What's wrong with dial-up? Why does it have to be Wi-Fi?
Or broadband, yeah, high speed. High-speed internet broadband changed everything, because then they could isolate you in your home and there's no real need to go to the office to make a good connection with your computer.
Or talk to people any longer. Back in the day, way back in the day, people used to hang out. Hey, let's go hang out. Okay, I'll meet you at, 5 o'clock? Okay, let's meet at 5 o'clock.
That's
what
right.
Do people do to hang out now? No, I'm in front of my computer. That's hanging out now. That's connecting to people. I've never seen this.
Well, what do you? But now, for instance, in your local life, is there anyone you can talk about this kind of information, or do you rely like I do on the computer to network with people around the world? I don't have anyone next door that I could talk about this with, so. I do enjoy the technology that I can talk to you over there and someone in Australia. That's the only way we can find enough people that understand this. We can't go down our street and get enough people to talk about it with.
No, that's true. Well, I did have the friend that I used to talk to her about a few things, but things have changed regarding her, so I don't really talk to her much anymore because it's sort of counterproductive.
Sure. But don't you think we can advance the opposition to this if we collaborate by presenting each other's work to our various audiences? I think it's very valuable. And one of the reasons...
I think we could do, but there's always an issue because unless you have your own website, most people have to use YouTube or BitChute or whatever. And these platforms are... censored, completely censored. They've got their agents everywhere. So unfortunately, YouTube is the thing that most people use most. So it's not often, I don't think you're going to get much in the way of proper alternative situations, because if it is alternative, it's going to be their people, which are not on the level. And I have explained that before, that a lot of these alternative things like Russell Brand, they're not here to help us.
Yeah,
it's just to see you off.
Controlled opposition. By the way, is Russell Brand FDM? He sure has that look for sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. There's a lot of videos that I'd done on my first channel and it was gone. Oh. Really quite sneaky how they'd done that, but...
Where did your first channel go? Did you save the videos? I know that everyone is purged, but did you save anything on your own hard drive, I hope?
They were on my old laptop, and my laptop hard drive completely broke.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't have it fixed. But it has been backed up on a few places. But I'm working now to redoing them and adding a bit more things to them.
Okay. So you were able to retrieve most of them, the old stuff?
Yes. But I don't want to upload them because the sound wasn't really good. I had an old laptop and the sound is worse than the one that I'm using now.
Okay.
So there was a lots of things. And I learned so much about other subjects from people in the comments as well.
Yeah.
When my channel starts to get more traction, I got lots of people that would tell me different things here and there, and that would add a piece to the puzzle. So it's sort of a collaboration, I think.
Oh, yeah. I love the comments. I find great wisdom and gold in the comments. If you can sort through all the negative bots that sometimes come into the channels, but if you can sift, like you're sifting for gold, there's a lot of good stuff. I was just reading one of the comments in one of your videos that I was playing while we were on the pre-show, and I found out I found an SMS site for doing authorization to logins that a lot of these sites are insisting that they send you a text. So that was a great site that, even though it's a pay site, for a dollar, you can avoid a lot of the identification censorship for logging into these various social media sites if you insist on using them. So, yeah, there's so many great tips that just reading the comments quickly, you can find a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And BitChute's pretty good.
That's sort of, I started out as one of those people that would just add bits of information here and there for other people,
but right.
I think most of the time they weren't really bothered.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, I still think if you have the time, it's worth mining through the comments. I enjoy comments, and I get lots of tips. I've created my own website, obviously, because it's an interest, and I really did it just so I can get good information, because I get a lot of people sending me some emails. I said, put that email into my forums. Let other people see it as well, because it's very valuable. And okay, I'm one person. If I see it and act upon it, that's great. But if you put it in the forums where anyone can see it, and even the evil Google can index it, maybe someone can search and find this information. So I really appreciate all the input I get. And I really emphasize to people, put it public, make it public. And one other thing.
Unfortunately, YouTube doesn't allow people to share links.
That's correct.
And now they just delete it straight away and I won't get a notification. I don't. I'm not really liking YouTube anymore. My second channel, YouTube was recommending it and I thought that was weird and I was getting lots of government agents. So I deleted it. And now my channel on YouTube, the older videos that I've re-uploaded in 2021, they're putting adverts in them. They're putting adverts in my videos and it's not got a copyright claim and they won't explain themselves. I asked and they won't say anything. There's a few of the older videos and you have to get to an advert before you watch my video. And I'm thinking they used to do that when it was like a copyright claim, but now it's just they're putting adverts before you can watch the video and they've not explained why. I'm not happy about that.
Okay, so you're above is below, or sorry, Antidote for Maya, above is below 3. Was that the only channel left on YouTube for you?
Yes, I did do a sort of backup one, but I'm not really on that channel because this is sort of my main channel.
Okay, I'm going to put the link to all these. I'm putting the link in the show notes. This is FAK 537. Above is below is the title. And I put all the links that we're talking about in the show notes. So if you are listening to this on a podcast app, you will be able to grab all these links. And if you're using a podcast 2.0 compatible program, you will see comments. So if anyone leaves comments, they will show up in your on your smartphone. Which I like to use the technology for good. So I, even though it has some negative effects on people, it I use it for good. So I'm going to put a note for our links to Antidote for Maya, above is below 3. So that's your YouTube channel. And of course, your main channel is your BitChute channel, which is bitchute.com/aboveisbelow, which is a easy to remember place to go. So I'm just going to put the, I do everything on the fly so I don't forget. So I'm going to do that now in FAK 537, above is below. Now, regarding some of these, do you think everyone promoted in Hollyweird at the top are androgynes/transgenders? Do you ever call them androgynes?
No.
No.
I think they are. I think the ones at the top, I think they are doing that because I've seen some pictures of these prominent families such as the Rothschilds, and they do look the opposite of what they're presenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they know. I think they know why they do it, but they don't tell the people sort of down the pyramid why they do it. They don't say what's in those hormones that they're taking. It's really dangerous, I think, because what is in these tablets that they're taking? What's it doing? It could be anything in that. And they don't tell people.
Who makes these tablets? When? Where do they get the hormones? Are they from cattle? Where do they get estrogen and testosterone?
That's the thing. They've got a lot of different films like Midnight Meat Train and what is To Serve Man. So I don't know. It could come from anywhere.
I'm trying to figure out where they make insulin from because unfortunately my daughter diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic when she absolutely has to have insulin. I couldn't quite, from my research, figure out where the hell the insulin comes from. I originally thought it was ground up pig pancreas. But that doesn't necessarily make sense, even though it supposedly comes from the pancreas. But I'm getting the impression that it's synthetic. But what kind of chemical are they using to make a hormone? And what are the dangers? I know, unfortunately, it keeps her alive, but there has to be a danger if it's synthetic. Probably doing something else at the same time. I was just curious.
I suppose you could do a FOIA request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who do I do it to? Because the drug companies, I thought FOIA is just for the government, but I know
they're... Well, who funds those companies?
All right. Well, I think Eli Lilly is a huge pharmaceutical that is big into insulin, and it's probably cost them nothing to make, and they charge a fortune for it. So it's just like all their other poisons that they... charge 1,000 or 10,000 times mark. It's probably marked up more than cocaine. The poisons that they sell to people.
Possibly.
But what, so you did a video on Trudeau.
Mm-hmm.
And he's our crime sinister here in Canada.
And Vladimir Zelensky is next when I get around to it.
So where did... What is the mechanism? How did they make Trudeau? Because he doesn't look like his purported father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who was the crime sinister of Canada from the 60s to the 80s. Where does he get this son? Where is he made from? Is he really birthed from Margaret Trudeau? Do you think these people are created in some kind of in vitro situation? Because we know in vitro is real. My sister used it.
Yes.
For herself. So we know the elites have been doing in vitro for way longer than they've offered it to the public. Where do these people come from? And how do you think they made Trudeau? If he's born a woman and literally his father... calls the bank, calls the lab and said, I want a son and I want him to be elite and inverted. Who does he call and what do you think the physical mechanism is to make this entity? I wonder.
I think they've got their own breeders, at least what I've read over the years with people who have been involved in these cults.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own breeders, or they've got siblings that they would keep aside as a breeder.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, those people never spoke about the transgender aspect, but I do think that's a given. I think when the child is born, they automatically do that. And I think they already know. I think they probably have the ability to create the boy or the girl by some sort of crazy science that they've got. As for Trudeau, I don't know where he came from. There are theories as to who her real father is, but it's possible that they just take these people and put them with a family. And probably hide who their bloodlines are, because it used to be a few years ago that Hitler did not know who her father was, but suddenly they're talking about who her father was. But there had been theories before that he was a Rothschild or a Rockefeller or something like that. So it's possible.
Yeah, these are the theories they're given. I think they see these so-called conspiracy theories to get us going down the wrong path. I think they throw out red herrings all over the place.
Yeah.
Just so we completely miss the point. Like, even though I think Trudeau does look like Fidel, and Fidel looks like a woman with the pasted on facial hair, and he's probably from some kind of Spanish nobility. They do look similar, but maybe they are from the same breeding program. Especially.
Probably.
And for instance, I've had this theory for a long time, for instance, with Obama. The reason they give us all these crazy stories about his mother, who doesn't even look like a real person, looks more like a CGI image, and the birth certificate, I think these are all red herrings to keep us way off track. And the real track is they breed these people, and they have hundreds of them, and they just pick one and say, okay, we're going to take this entity and promote the hell out of the person and sell it to the public, and he'll be put in a position of power. But I really think that, and he'll be raised up in a CIA foster family. They'll just raise him up, and we'll just create this crazy story, and then we'll create an alternative story for those that don't believe it. We'll give them a dialectic to chew on, but the real story is what we're doing, which is creating these human beings.
Yes.
And making them, in a way, both sexes, because they say they're born a female, but they're bombarded with testosterone. So they're, in a way, they're merging the two sexes into these entities and making them feel special. And then elevating them. And just probably filling their brains up with all kinds of things that say you're better than the rest. Don't worry about the criticism. We're backing you all the way until you don't do what we tell you. Like if Trudeau, who's we're told is a drama teacher, if he ever got his own ideas that, oh, he got here, he has the power, he can do what he wants, they would just turn off the hormones and he'd be like the Wicked Witch of the West. He'd just melt into the floor. Do you think that these people are on, they're on a constant lifeline to the hormones and all the maintenance?
I think so, but I think sometimes they don't give them hormones because it's all a theater show anyway. Mm-hmm. So they could have fake beards, they could have gray put in their hair to make it look like. I think at some point they do put them on hormones early on, but I don't know if they continue with it because these hormones do cause strokes and blood clots and things like that. So I think that's a real danger that they are perfectly aware of.
So they could kill them, and they don't want to do that.
Why not if they've got 10 other twins that look like them, you know, sitting around?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I think because they are what they are and possibly their genetics have been modified, I think they're not considered a human like the rest of us. Because I thought, why isn't there an organization that I could complain to and say, you know what, you're abusing these people and I don't agree with it. I think they don't consider them to be human, so they don't fall under human rights.
Yeah, you don't like the word androgyne.
I haven't used the word androgyne because.
What is it? What does it mean? Is it? It's Latin and Greek, or means it, andro is male.
Androgynous. It's the male and the female, hermaphrodite. I mean, I have said hermaphroditus, but I don't think that they are hermaphrodites anymore. I think that they really are just born one gender and grown up as another one.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some sort of energetic and spiritual thing that goes with doing that. I think some of them can. I think if they've been manipulating the genetics, that I think at some point you do get some that are natural born hermaphrodites, but I don't think all of them are.
So now that they're out in the open and they're pushing this hard to everyone and anyone who wants to participate, including children without their parents' consent.
Oh, I'm seeing that everywhere now. It's so sad.
It's
really
crazy.
Sad. I see a child walking around, earring in the ear, walking around, obviously dressed like that. And I'm thinking, no, because they can't tell me that they're gay, because gay is a sexual preference, which should not have anything to do with a child at this time in their life.
Yeah, I consider it a behavior. I don't think you're born that way. I think sex is pretty much a behavior. You can control your behavior. You can control if you're good or if you're bad, or if you're ignorant or positive. But yeah, I don't think you're born a certain way. I think you're born with male or female genitalia, which is how we define sex. And then all the secondary sexual characteristics that come from the hormones associated with our God-given sex organs. But I don't think there's any choice. And I think the way we practice our sexuality is a behavior.
And also it's been exploited in sort of brainwashed, for lack of a better word, because parents are working now. They put their child in front of the television, and now the television is telling you what to do. And now that children have these mobile phones and devices, they're looking at all sorts of things when you're not around and getting sort of brainwashed that way to think there's something wrong with them. And there's nothing wrong with them. It's like, get the people to focus on something being wrong with them so they're not looking at what's wrong around us. There's a lot of around us that's wrong.
Yeah, the smartphone speaks directly to people now. That's the danger. The powers that be can talk directly to each person individually. They can circumvent every layer of protection that a child has, and it's supposed to be their parents. But it's super.
Even I've watched cartoons and programs from the 60s and 70s, and they're not nearly as bad as what they are now. And books, even when I was reading books, there's always a gay or a lesbian character in it. So they've sort of gone through every avenue, but because people really don't read too much any longer, it's television. And a lot I've noticed in the last 10 years, lots of the programs on television are vampires and werewolves and witches. And the new Sabrina, I haven't seen it, but I've seen sort of adverts and completely satanic witchcraft. They're not hiding it any longer. This is Luciferian witchcraft. It's blood rituals. It's going to hell to visit Satan. And it never used to be in your face like that, but it is now. And they're making it really cool. And it's not cool because people don't understand what that sort of stuff is really doing. And Dirty Benny had asked about mirrors as portals. This is something that is predominant in Asian and Middle Eastern culture, that mirrors are a doorway to supernatural beings. Yes, Bewitched pushed the witchcraft as well. They did, but
I love Bewitched.
It's different now because teenagers are getting into like really satanic Luciferian witchcraft. It's not like, let's burn some incense and say a few prayers to the moon goddess. No, this is like cutting their wrists in blood. So the mythology in the Middle East, you would call it superstition, and the West would say superstition, but they very much believe that these are doorways to these entities. And I think it has to do with the Mercury, which is something that I explained on my first channel. Cinnabar is called Red Mercury, and the alchemical symbol for that looks like a 3-3. So when I see that, I don't think it means Illuminati. I think that means portals, because these people are very much aware of the non-human beings that are around and how to contact them, because they were given jinn. Yes, jinn. There's another one that I forgot what it's called, that they can come in through the mirrors, or that they watch you through mirrors. And I was talking to my African friend a few days ago, and they very much believe in a kingdom under the sea, that there are mermaid people. And he said they're not good. They're very evil. And there was a man whose mother had wanted a daughter. So she went to the witch doctor, and he had asked her to do something. I can't quite remember. And after she did the ritual, they captured her son's soul. She's like, you can have a daughter, but I'm taking your son's soul. And when he got older, he met this extremely beautiful woman that he found out later was a mermaid. And she had told him that they use mirrors to watch people, and that it is very much a thing. So I think it's interesting that in Western culture, after somebody dies, usually you put a covering over the mirrors.
Interesting. It's funny. I was playing on my audio chat program today, Poor Unfortunate Soul, from that Ursula song from The Little Mermaid, because I was thinking about that one, and we were talking about just the extent that some of these people are going through to change their gender. Talking to somebody today on our audio chat, which you're welcome to join anytime off the cuff, no schedule required. And the guy was telling me he knew a couple transgenders in real life, and was explaining the procedure they were going through. Absolutely just horrific, the surgery that people are willing to undergo. And that got me thinking about The Little Mermaid and Poor Unfortunate Soul, that Ursula song, which of course...
There was one of them that I had met, and he got the full sex change. And unfortunately, what they have to do is they have to have... What's the word to describe this thing? They call it a dilator, but it is a plastic phallus that they have to use, because otherwise it will close up, because it's not natural. It's not a natural sort of...
There's nothing natural about it. Just the surgery, though, to go from MTF was just...
They have to continually dilate that so that it doesn't close up, because otherwise it would.
It's terrible.
It's quite terrible. Like, every day they have to do that. Every day they have to dilate to make sure that the fake bits don't close up. And it's really bad. I don't know why they don't allow sorts of the truth to be known about these surgeries, because there's so much trouble.
It's a form of torture. People are torturing themselves.
Or they like to point to India, because India has Hijra. That's something else that's sort of directly relating to these entities, because in the mythologies, these serpent entities are both gendered and they can't have children. So it's sort of, that is a direct reference as to why the Hijra, they're not really both gendered, though, because they're men wearing makeup and saris, and it's not the same thing. But they're trying to point to these ancient religions that did transgenderism. But that's because they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were worshipping these fallen entities. But people nowadays, they don't understand that when they engage in this behavior, that it is a ritual to these entities.
Yes. Now, we've been going for about an hour and a half. It's been extremely enjoyable. How are you finding it so far?
It's It's good.
Good conversation. Good. One of my other favorite people to talk about is Mr. E. And he's the subject of one of your, I think you referenced him and my show with him in your latest video, The Truth About Salesmen. Do you want to elaborate on what happened or what's happening there? Because I like both of you two personalities, and I'm just curious if you want to speak directly through this broadcast, since you referenced the broadcast about that topic.
I don't think there's really much to say, because what I had to say, I said it in the video, so I don't have anything to add to it.
Okay. I don't think there was any ill will from either side, but you think maybe there was some nefariousness going on there?
I think the aftermath speaks for itself.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, I really value both your work.
That's all right. Do I think tattooing is a magical ritual? I did visit Thailand for a month, and they do have magical tattoos called, I think it's Sakyant, or I think it's Sankyat. I have to look. And I had asked one of the tourists, well, what is that? And he said they are black magic tattoos. So when you see people like Angelina Jolie or others getting these Yangtze tattoos or however it's called, in that way, yes, they are black magic tattoos, because the monk is chanting and doing these tattoos on your body. I don't know that tattoos in general are the same thing, because the intention doesn't seem to be there. But when I was there, this was a thing that it has to be a monk that does it. He has to be trained in this sort of thing. And I don't know what he's chanting. But I think it would be something to consider before deciding to do that, just because it looks cool. Because these ancient sorts of practices, they know what it means. But I think a lot of Western people go over there thinking it's a novel idea, but it's not.
That's just any tattoo, or a special tattoo over there? Is there a difference?
It's a special tattoo. Let me see if I could find it. I know that one of the tourists was going to get it, but he did say that after it's been tattooed on you, somebody says over the tannoy this chant, and it activates the animal that was tattooed on you, and then you take on the form of that animal.
Interesting.
Yes. Sakyant tattoos. Sakyant. Sakyant. So these, at least to answer that question, I do think that these are black magic tattoos. I don't know if that's true for all tattoos. If you go to tattoo parlor, I don't know if that's true for everyone, because I know that different cultures have done tattoos mainly to say what tribe they were from, or how to identify each other. I think so that there was no confusion or possibility of inbreeding if you knew what tribe that they came from. So I don't know if that applies to just getting a tattoo done, but I do think there are specific tattoos that are done for magical purposes.
I'm not into tattoos. Are you? Partake in tattoos?
I have tattoos, but I don't just go to get them. I've had them, but it's not something that I'm interested in continuing.
Mm-hmm. Something you did when you were younger and you regret?
I don't regret them, because they are from my mum's tribe. Mm-hmm. So I don't regret that I got them, but I'm not interested in continuing. Just because it's not something that I'm interested in doing.
I don't think I would do it. I just don't like the idea of scarring my body.
It has to be a monk, and he's chanting the entire time that he's doing this on your body. He's chanting some sort of prayer. And then certain days of the year, they say this chant and it activates the animal that you've got tattooed on you. But when I met the tourist, it was a tourist from Italy, and he did say these are black magic tattoos.
Wow. Well, besides transvestigation, do you call yourself a transvestigator or something more?
Not really. I did do quite a bit of it on my first channel, but it got boring, saying the same thing over and over, hips, shoulders. And there's sort of more going on in the world besides the transgendering thing, although that is in, it's at the forefront now. But there's so many other things that's going on, like the Canadian convoy rituals and the rituals that's going on in Ukraine. So I do those videos really to interfere with the spells that they're putting out.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on the whole COVID psyop, the vaccination,
it's rubbish. I think it's a harvesting. Well, my first channel, I think probably that's the main reason why my channel was deleted, is because I was talking about this before they'd had a chance to put the little agents out to say it. But I do think that the vaccination process was a soul harvesting ritual, because they don't talk about sort of the supernatural, for lack of a better word, in the West, because they don't want you to figure out what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're quite happy continuing doing what they're doing without people understanding, because most people now, they don't care, that they will sell their soul for the next iPhone, whatever comes out. So it's really not in fashion to have the opinion that what they're doing is really detrimental to us mentally and spiritually. So I don't know if I would call myself a transvestigator. I think I should probably change the word, because I'm not investigating them. I know that they're transgendered. I think it's really an analysis of what is going on. And I have said before, I don't consider myself a truther. I'm not a truther.
Interesting. Yeah, my research is super general. I call myself a fakeologist because I study media fakery. That's how I got into all this. And I'm mainly interested in the transgender agenda before it became pushed into everyone's life, where everyone knows the word transgender now, whereas before it was more esoteric. But I just am fascinated by the deception level, the fakeness of a female that's actually a male. That blows my mind that I could have been deceived so easily, and it's so widespread. It's not just one or two. It's endless, and
it's everywhere. It's in Turkish entertainment. It's Arabic entertainment. Whatever country has an entertainment, they are doing that.
They
really are.
Yeah, it's crazy. So that's why I call myself a fakeologist, because it was a word I used it before Donald Trump came around. And of course, he kind of ruined the word fake, but he did draw a lot of attention to it. And he misdirects from the actual fakery, but I just find it... I don't really call myself a truther either, although if I had to give a label that somebody might understand, I would say, yes, I do seek out the truth for sure.
Mm-hmm. But no, I've explained that I'm an interpreter. I'm interpreting what these symbols and these things are, because obviously they're using it, but I don't, because truth means something different to each person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really, I'm sort of revealing the deception of what they're doing.
You talk a lot about gematria, and I've been following that for a long time as well. People like Zach Hubbard, who I interviewed years ago, and Russian Vids, who, yeah, he brushes by it quite a bit with the gematria calculator. But I've always thought the Masons, I called it Mason Fidi, where they use numbers just to communicate with each other, mainly to, I used it to say they're indicating fakery when they when they throw the 33s and the 22s, the multiples of 11, and just their sacred numbers, maybe 42, 175, you know, all the flights on 9/11. They're all specially coded numbers that they think have higher power. And you talk a lot about that in your videos. Can you expand on your belief in gematria? Where does it come from? What's it all about?
I think it comes from the fallen. They brought this knowledge here. There's many theories about sort of where we are, if it's a fractal, if it's a mathematic-based thing. I think that these numbers have an energy and a frequency. So it's like music. Music is a frequency, but it can also be a number or a letter. And I think that's what they're doing when they do this. It's gematria. I don't think gematria is the end of it, but I think it helps. And also you can sort of see ahead of time what they're doing, because they love their numbers. They really do love their numbers.
Yes.
And I think it's because it has a frequency, which is it's like a sound or a tone or something. And it sort of adds to their ritual, like burning incense can add to a magical ritual, or chanting, which is a frequency, can add to a magical ritual. So they use numbers to add to the little rituals that they're doing.
But what do you think of just dissecting numerology and using and taking letters and translating them into numbers? Do you believe in that as well, that they actually... they pick words and names just to fit a particular numerical code?
Yes, I think it can add to other things probably that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. It does seem to be. I really don't believe it, but I know that they're using it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know that it works, and I see it because they're using it, but I don't. It's not something that... because you can get really crazy if you're looking into all the numbers. I think the numbers can make people go a bit mad if they become obsessed with everything being a number. So I do try to keep that at a minimum. Don't make deals with liars, just say no. Yes.
Yeah. He seems, sounds like he's listening to the show from 20 minutes ago. That's what we were talking about a while ago.
Okay.
I think Zach, I don't know, maybe it's a really delayed screen. You know, Zach Hubbard, are you aware of Zach Hubbard?
Yes.
I think he is making a ton of money now talking about gematria, because I think he's using it to decode sports betting. And now he's got all the people that like to bet following him. And now I think he's making bank big money with his... breaking down of the games and the people playing the games, whatever games that they are. So there's so much money.
Wow, but what happens when they catch on and decide to change it up?
Well, I don't know. I don't follow him anymore, because he would literally take every single story every day and break it into numbers. And my head was just ready to explode, because I think, like you said, he was just going to the extreme. But of course, he'll say it's all valid. And obviously people believe him, because he has Patreons coming out the yin yang. And he's making bank. And you only have to be right just more than 50% of the time, a coin toss, and you'll make money when it comes to betting.
Yeah, I think people could get carried away with the number thing. I don't go into it too deeply, because it can become obsessive. And it's not the only piece that they're using. It's a piece that they're using. It's like if you've got a recipe and you decide to put, I don't know, oregano in it, that's only one bit. It's not the whole thing. It's just something that's being added to it. If I notice that they're doing it, then I'll talk about it. Usually the particular numbers when they're talking about these gods that they're worshipping, because it seems to be that they're giving energy to these gods. So they take our attention to whatever ritual that they're doing, and then they will have a number like 111177, which connects to Inanna Ishtar, and that will be energy for her, this entity. So I think they do those little things for them, but I don't focus on it too much because it's, I think you can go crazy by looking at everything. Oh, it's a number. Oh, I just saw the number 11 bus. That means something. You know, people can get a bit
like, here's obsessive. I'm looking at his channel now. He's got 2 days ago, monkeypox in the United States on May 18th, 2022, the 138th day of the year. 13 million vaccines at 119 million cases. So, you know, I always look for 11s and 9s and 9/11 because that's how I started this channel, actually, on 9/11. That was how I woke up to the world. Oh, yeah, my God, 9/11. I was stunned when I learned about that because I was a consumer of media, never saw anything other than, well, maybe we might have attacked ourselves, but I just did not understand anything about 9/11 until I started into the truther community. Mm. Oh, and we were talking about the Wicked Witch of the West, and apparently Margaret Hamilton, who played that in The Wizard of Oz, I think died this week. How's that for interesting?
Which year? They don't mean the old witch from the 30s. She'd be a corpse by now.
Oh, I see.
It is Mace.
He did this channel or did this video 2 days ago. Okay, you're right. She died on May 16th, 1985. So he's going back in history to decode and to look into it. So, yeah, he gets a lot of views.
I was thinking, surely she couldn't have just died because then they would really have to admit that vampires exist.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, yeah, he's digging into The Wizard of Oz, which was quite the ritualistic type movie that just seemed so harmless when I watched it way, way back in the day.
I did see that when I was a child and I thought there was something really wrong with it. So probably because of flying monkeys, and if this whole monkeypox thing is going on, then perhaps I don't know. I don't
know. Oh, maybe that's right. Maybe that's why he brought it up in that context as well.
What role do I think the artificial intelligence plays in the realm? To take over, I think. I think that's what it's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have explained to a few people that I think the artificial intelligence is some sort of demon. I don't think this particular thing is an a good energy that's around us. People have told me on YouTube that they will type a comment and their comment is edited after they post it, and they haven't done it. So I think this artificial intelligence is interested in learning from us and then taking over and then mimicking, which I have seen. I've been seeing that with a lot of the trolls, that it sort of mimics what we're doing so that it confuses other people so that they don't know who's the real person, who's the agent. I've noticed this behavior. I don't think it's good. I think the purpose of that is to make people give up, to overwhelm them so that they give up.
Instead of
trying to find out more.
I was discussing this earlier. I think Twitter, and I never really thought of it too much, but since Elon Musk has been drawing all this attention to Twitter, I'm kind of convinced like he is trying to purport that Twitter is probably at least 90% bots. Now, bots are controlled where one person in the military in psychological operations could control 500 different profiles that interact with each other. And I think the purpose of Twitter, since there's no business model for it, is simply just to shape opinion. So, for instance, if you go to Twitter and then you go click on the trending where you want to know what's happening in the world, now that's all artificially created. Now, it's not robots just doing it. It's human beings that are using computer algorithms to just leverage computing to create trends and create ideas and create culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense that Twitter makes no sense from a business point of view. It makes no sense really from the point of view of, well, you could create your own websites and have your own blogs, but they've created this meeting place where they want to capture people, capture their energy and their attention to just drive the culture a certain way. And if they want to suck you into Twitter and convince you that you need to verify your identity to just be on the internet, which is probably a long-term goal, then they will do that as well. Saying, oh, you don't want to, we want to make sure you're not a bot because you don't like bots, do you?
And that was such a headache when I was trying to get all of this set up. It's like, hi, I'm a bot. You need to prove that you're not a bot. So show how many pictures are with a train.
Oh, yes, of course.
I was getting really stuck with that thing.
I hate that. Well, actually, even though I verified you on our Discord server because I was pretty sure it was you, normally we want to hear a voice just to make sure you're not a bot. So, and to make sure you're over 18 as well. So, yeah, it's we use the human verification process. I don't like the computer one with the pick this picture and pick this traffic light. But, yeah, that's I think it's just human beings using computers to leverage themselves so they can create bots that can interact with each other and just manufacture ideas and consent. And that's, to me, what Twitter's all about. But if you go in their playground, you have to expect to be messed with because it's their lair. It's their playground.
Yeah, no, I was going to do a Twitter so I could follow another person, but I read through the terms and conditions and it said that if you agree, it's a binding contract. And I thought, oh, what do you mean binding contract? That, you know, I look into sort of the witchcraft and a binding spell is like something that ties you to it for from now to eternity. Don't think I like the wording that they've done. So I've decided not to do that. And I really don't need a Twitter anyway. But I was watching, have you heard of What the Flock TV?
No, what's that?
Yes. Somebody on my first channel told me about him and he does lots of ideas. So where he goes into Janus, that's his area. And I go into Anon Ishtar because that's my area. But it's sort of like talks about similar subjects. And he said that Facebook is basically a virtual voodoo doll of yourself.
Right. Your meta version.
It's basically like a voodoo doll of you.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, oh dear, that's not good.
It's your digital representation. It's you in the metasphere. Yeah. I think that's what they're talking about.
So then the AI is making a sort of avatar of you to exist somewhere.
Yeah, What the Flock TV, is he still current? Oh, yeah, he's still on there. He doesn't have any followers compared to everyone else. So he's What the Flock TV. He's on Twitter.
Well, he's on YouTube.
He's also on YouTube. We'll take a look at that.
Your digital twin, yes. I think it could be twin, but also clone. I mean, I know people don't like that word, but it would be a clone because... Mm-hmm. They know what you do and they know what you're watching.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. I have accounts everywhere, but I just use pseudo information there and do my best to.
And I've also I think that the AI is, because it's some sort of conscious entity, is deleting a lot of things. The things that I used to talk about on my first channel, I go back and those websites have disappeared completely. So I think that has a lot to do with the cleanup crew.
Who, besides, so do you recommend What the Flock TV? Is the person you...
I like his videos. He does talk about words and the names of things and because he looks into Janus, the Greek god Janus with the two heads. Mm-hmm. And he can tell you anything about Janus. When people were taking PCR tests, it was going to a machine called Janus.
Oh, right.
So he talks about Janus as like the god of doorways. So it's a portal god, basically. But I've learned quite a bit from him. Yeah. I don't know. It's up to you. You can watch and see.
Oh, no. I'm fine. This is how we learn. Do you have any other recommendations? Who do you recommend? Who do you like to gather research from? I don't like to say follow because it's sort of a not really the right way to talk about it.
Yes, I saw Return to Oz when I was a child. That was a horrific film. I don't think that should have been marketed to children in any way. I've looked at that film a few times and it's a lot of mind control, but it's also quite dark in terms of admitting what this coven does to children. So, yes, that was a question on the comments.
Yeah, Napoleon Wilson, yeah.
I like Simon 1978. He does the transvestigations as well.
Oh, where is he? YouTube?
He's on YouTube and BitChute.
Okay, Simon 1978.
Yes.
Let's look at him.
I don't watch too many transvestigation channels because I know that they are all transgendered. Mm-hmm. And I think I do focus sort of the other things in depth instead of just the transvestigations. Because I've already done an anatomy video and a surgery video and a hormone video. So people can sort of conduct their own gender investigations if they want to.
Is the pelvic bone the gold standard, like they say, of determining male or female?
I think it's a good indication. I was out today and I saw a couple walking, and obviously the way that they walk is quite different because her pelvis is wider and he's got a smaller pelvis. So I would say that it's a pretty good indication, because if you have a wide pelvis, you can have children, but if you've got a small little pelvis, that would be quite difficult, I think.
And why did they, and Elvis was always called Elvis the pelvis. Is there any clue
Elvis
there?
Elvis the pelvis. Oh dear.
Yeah, that was his, yeah. That was the phrase, Elvis the pelvis.
Yeah.
Were they trying to tell you something? Yeah, here's Simon 1978. I found him on BitChute. Yeah. I'll put a link to him. Is there any, are you on any forums about transgender where you leave messages, or do you have any that you recommend?
For discussion? I don't use that. I'm quite happy to make my videos and leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because this is the first time I've done an interview, because I've just made videos and leave them out there. I don't like to be online too much.
Okay, that's good.
I don't like to be on the computer too much.
That's healthy.
I don't like how it's taken over everything, and so I do get outside as much as possible.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you've given about 2 hours of your time, which is plenty. It's definitely more than I bargained for, but it's fantastic. We had a really great conversation, and I like your work. I like your presentation. I think it's valuable, and Dirty Benny is, I guess, your biggest fan here, and he recommended you for an interview or just for a viewing, and I do enjoy your stuff, and it's very educational. And I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as the audience seems to have.
Yeah, so just I wanted to come on and sort of explain how I've come to learn all of this. It's a lot of life experience.
Yeah, that's a big difference that you've actually bumped into it in real life and decided to go from there as opposed to the other way around.
No. No, nothing on the internet woke me up initially. It was a lot of real life experience. And then I started to look online for answers as to what was going on, really, because I saw it and I experienced it, but I just thought, well, this is part of life experience, but it does sort of continue.
And Dirty Benny says, much gratitude and respect to AIB for spending time and sharing wisdom with us today. Well, hopefully
you'll
be able to come back sometime if you have some other research you want to expand and expound upon, because we love this topic and we're not letting it go. And of course, the mainstream, they're not going to let us let it go either. It's being pushed so hard on our children that we have to I really think that when you expose the demonic, satanic aspect of it, that might change people's minds that are even looking at this as something to do with their children. I think it's crazy. And we really have to push back.
I think so, because sort of all of us together collectively, we've not really pushed back too much. And so they've put on the pressure. So at least, you know, if they continue to have these alternative places for us to put videos, otherwise I think it might become quite difficult, because mm-hmm. they don't like it when you can prove it. And I think I do an okay job of proving, you know, the gender of these people, what they really are doing.
And don't you think it's eugenics? Do you think maybe the ultimate goal is to just bring in a society where people are not concentrating on what will further the human species?
I think they would love to see the human species finished.
Yes. So,
but in the meantime, they're going to loose as much energy as possible. They're going to, mm-hmm. you know, it's like if you've got, you know, a useful little prisoner, you don't want them to just die. You want them to be of some use. So I think that's ultimately what they are wanting to do, I think. And it's, I don't think you can look away from the spiritual aspect of it all, because it is quite soul and energy harvesting. Yes, it's quite apparent that it's a spiritual thing. And I think people don't quite want to believe that this really is a spiritual battle, but that's what they're doing. I mean, it's right in your face. So I think really what I just want to show people, like, yes, it is right in your face. And now that you know, it's probably better that you withdraw consent and tell them no. Like, okay, now I understand. You've shown me what a boat is, and I see what it's a boat, and I don't like what it's doing, so no.
Just say no. Just say no to the agenda. I agree.
Yeah. No, no conditions. No, no. Just no. No, no. This, no. The yeah. answer is no. I know people don't like to hear no. They want it wrapped up in sugar and a knife. No, it can't be a nice little thing. No, because they will take any opportunity. And it's really important as well, I think, for people to understand this inverted agenda, because you will always find it with these alleged truthers that come out. I've spoken about Fiona Barnett. I don't think she's on the level. I don't think Isaac Cappy was on the level. So it's just for people to pay attention to that, so when the next new thing comes along, they don't give their energy and the resources to it.
Yeah, I don't know those two people.
I was still a girl.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much. And everyone needs to go to Above Is Below, her BitChute channel. You can easily search it. If you can't find it, you can go to the show notes. And yeah, thank you so much for your time. It was very interesting. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I know the audience enjoyed your information tonight. And you're certainly welcome back anytime. And we do have the Discord. I know you signed up there. And if you want to interact on our live stream audio channel anytime, you can do that as well. It's easy. It's free. It's recorded. It's streamed. It's my own little bootstrap platform that with some help I put together. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. All the best. And
thank you.
Have a good day. Or good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Above Is Below. And there goes me. The show is now over. And I wish to let you know, if you want to support the show, fakeologist.com/donate. That was 2 hours. That was a great interview. She's a very interesting person. Now, I did tell Northern Tracy to show up 4 o'clock. I may postpone it to tomorrow, because tomorrow we have a holiday here. We're celebrating Queen Victoria. So I think I am running out of steam right now. But I think I'm going to see if I can push Northern Tracy on to tomorrow at around this time. So we'll do that, I think. So Thanks everyone for joining. Fakeologist.com/donate. Don't forget that we have some new audio chats that we put up over the weekend. Just go to fake11.com/audio and you'll find a lot of content there. And we're going to try and get this up and hopefully everything renders fine as we transition to the new box. So thanks everyone for joining. Good night.